We will be picking up today from Galatians chapter 1 and reading verses 10 through 17. 10 through 17. I'll be making some references to verses 18 through 24, but we won't be having a sermon on that, though the references will come today. Galatians 1, that's on page 1784 in your pew Bibles. And we'll read together verses 10 through 17 in unison. Let's begin. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advance in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned to Damascus. That is the word of our God. Confront sin, speak of Christ. Oh, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God greeted His children in Galatia. And He did so to let them know that He had nothing judicially against them, for all their sins were borne on Jesus Christ on the cross. But paternally, as a father, He saw His children falling into sin. And they were in danger. Why? They started believing that men were saved not just by Jesus' work on the cross for sinners, but that they had to do some work to help complete that salvation. And in fact, there were some who did not believe the cross was essential at all, and that they could do good works and please God. So God gave them a stern warning. That was the second sermon, telling them that their false teachers who were doing this were going to hell. And they need to be on guard that they did not follow them, or they too would end up in hell by rejecting the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now today you'll see Apostle Paul explaining that because he submitted to God and not to man, he had to proclaim the full gospel of Jesus Christ, even if he hurt the feelings of the people or these false teachers who were called Judaizers. And our headings are two. The Apostle Paul had to please God, not man. And second, the Apostle Paul had to preach Christ, not salvation by works. And our goals are that you will ignore the pressure to compromise your Christian faith, especially about the necessity of the atonement, which is being very subtly but very notably being attacked today, and that you will boldly speak of Christ, the only hope for the world. Let's first look at then the Apostle Paul had to please God, not man. The Apostle Paul said his job was not to live to please men or flatter them with lies. Lies about their own abilities. But he had to please God. And there's a word that's used there. It's a little confusing. It says persuade. The best translation of persuade there would be to want to please by actions. It's working by action to convince someone of something. So the question literally should be read this way. For do I now want to please men or do I want to please God? It's a rhetorical question. The Apostle Paul was insinuating here then that he was not interested in pleasing men, but he was interested in pleasing God. This meant he had to tell Christians what they needed to hear. He wasn't to stroke their heads and say, that's all right, you live your way, I live my way. We just want to get along. We just want to hold hands and sing kumbaya. But rather he was saying, I've got to tell you what God wants you to hear. He had to preach. More than that, he meant he had to not try to get along with these lying teachers, these false teachers. He had to stop them. The Judaizers tried to make salvation a humanly achievable thing, but salvation is not a humanly achievable thing. These teachers were lying to Christians. The Apostle Paul said, if he worked to please men, tell others what he wanted to hear, or not confront them in their sins, he would not be a good servant of Christ. He said something similar. The Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's read together. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart. Our goal is not to please men. Our goal is to please God. Now, we're not trying to offend men. We're trying to please God. And if you're a bond servant, you have one loyalty. That loyalty is to your master. And you want to build up your master's estate. And so with God, our goal is to build up the kingdom of God by bringing more and more people in subjection to God. That's what he was called to do. He was there to please God, not to please man. What can we learn? Let's look at some lessons now. First of all, don't tell people what they want to hear. Trying to curry favor with them. If you curry favor with them, you might make them your friend, but you'll lose your friendship with God. You'll become an enemy of God. The godly want to please God, not get approval from them. If you want applause of men, you really can't serve Christ. Look at what the scripture says. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Together. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Do you understand what God is saying? This is a natural thing. We want everyone to like us. Does that sound familiar? Why can't we all get along? Why can't we say you're equal and we're all equal? Doesn't matter what you believe. It's all good. That's the Canadian motto, isn't it? But it's a sinful motto. You have to speak the truth. Not stroke people's head. Or not refuse to confront people who do wrong. Instead of telling them what they want to hear, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about their lostness without him. This is the goal of every minister. If a minister does not talk about sin and salvation and service, run away from him. Don't listen to him. Don't waste your time. If a man can preach a sermon and not mention sin, he doesn't understand what he has been called to do. You see, when you do this, when you preach about sin, you're going after man's ego. Man thinks he's good. But no one who is proud can be saved in that state. He must be humbled. This is what will please God. So go after man's ego. Make him realize the wretchedness of his condition. Third, confront wicked men who are posing a threat to God's people. Don't back down. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to do so. Now, it's true, you're not going to make as much money as Joel Osteen does. It's true, you will never be able to talk as smoothly as he talks. But you need to be able to tell people who are listening to the filth that comes from his mouth, the false teaching, that they need to get it right. They need to realize they're not getting truth. This positive thing of thinking good thoughts is not salvation. They need to hear the word sin. I've listened to many sermons from him and have never heard the word sin mentioned. It's always positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale, The Amazing Results of Positive Thinking. Carnegie and others, same idea. It's positive also. And if you're just positive, you'll be okay. That might work for AA, but it doesn't work for salvation. Here's the thing. God did not call you to be liked. Oh, we all like to be liked. It's wonderful if people like you. But God did not call you to be liked. It is important that you get this as a parent as well. Too many parents are afraid of losing their children, so they compromise and let them live however they want. But you're going to lose them if you let them do what they want. That's the sure way to lose them. It's better you speak the truth to them. What do we have to do as elders? We have to speak up if people aren't walking the ways of Jesus. We have to tell them to come back and challenge them and rebuke them to do so. Is it nice to do so? No. No one likes to look at someone and telling someone that they're doing wrong. But we have to. That's what God calls to, and that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. That's what he had to do. Because the state or the security of the soul is at stake. Four, you might think your words aren't powerful. If you think this way, you're wrong. Your words are more powerful than you think. You've been given everything God wants man to know. The Word of God is complete, sufficient, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for some good works. No, for every good work. So God's Word is full and pure and sufficient. And you need to speak up. You need to know it first, but you need to speak up. So let's come to the second point, which is the thrust of what he's saying now. The Apostle Paul was saying he had to preach Christ. He had to preach Christ. He was not to please men, he had to please God. But specifically, he showed he would please God by preaching Christ, not salvation by works. He said his job was to teach new Christians the full gospel that came from heaven. That full gospel that started in Genesis 3, when the Lord said that the serpent would crush the heel of the woman's son, but that woman's son would crush his head. That's the gospel. It started in Genesis. And by the way, a lot of there's a famous church called the Full Gospel Church. They don't talk about that. The full gospel starts in Genesis. And by the way, the Apostle Paul did not receive his gospel from the Pharisee Gamaliel, who was his main teacher. He didn't get it from the University of Tarsus, where he was from. He got it from God. On the other hand, the Judaizers and their exalted human thought. They wanted to be able to say, we are playing a part in our salvation. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul wasn't saying that the church mustn't call someone to the ministry. He submitted to it, you will see, in Antioch. He went there and they laid hands on him and Barnabas and sent them out on their first missionary journey. But what he was saying here, this is an extraordinary call. God called him directly and gave him this message of salvation, this message of the gospel, that you were not saved by keeping the law or doing good works, but you were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And because he was saying this is directly from God, he was telling people, you better pay special attention to this. The gospel is not good works. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. Let's read together. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he said, this is what I received. This is what he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we get into a little bit of an explanation in verses 13 and 14. He said that he was a former persecutor of God's people with the stated goal of destroying the church. But he became a servant with a different goal, to preach the full gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul, of course, was well-schooled in the Old Testament, and he advanced in Judaism, which is sometimes called Phariseeism. He believed in salvation by works, and he persecuted the Christians who believed in salvation by grace through faith in Christ. The Bible says he persecuted them with passion. He really believed that what he was doing was the right thing when he opposed Jesus and his church. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 3 together. As for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. That's before his name was changed, or he changed his name to Paul. From a famous king, Saul, he says, I want to be named Paul, which means little. Look again at Acts chapter 9, verse 1 together. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Of course, that's when they sent him off to Damascus. Go arrest some Christians. Let's throw them in prison. Let's kill them. And he was guilty of murder. But now, Apostle Paul was saying to these Jewish Judaizers, these false teachers in Galatia, that their message will spread like cancer. Their message was sickly, like the other false teachers before. And a good example of this, he talked about to Timothy in the church in Ephesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 13 together. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the sadness of the situation. These people, to some degree, will be successful. Of course, they'll be exposed in the end for what they were. But they will cause trouble. Just like Jannes and Jambres, who were likely people who were encouraging the children of Israel after they left Egypt and encountered difficulties in the desert to say, let's go back to Egypt. That's the way we'll be saved. And that's what these false teachers were saying. Look, let's go back to the ceremonies of the Old Testament. That's how we'll be saved. Let's do good works so we will feel as part of our salvation. But then the Apostle Paul says in verse 16 that God prepared him before he was born, as was mentioned in the case of Isaiah, who was chosen before he was born for his work, and Jeremiah chosen before he was born, and John the Baptist chosen before he was born, and then they were called to God later to preach his word. You can read about this in Isaiah 49, Jeremiah 1, and Luke 1. He's saying, God called me. He separated me. And there's a strange play on words here, because the Pharisees were known as a separatist party. And he used similar language to say, you know, you talk about being the separated party, but God separated me to say there's salvation in no other name given among men. That you're not saved by your good works, but you're only saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And since he was singled out and called to preach by God, he was telling them, no one should stand in the way. You should receive what God said. You notice he never appealed to his own authority, but what he received from God. What a wonderful change God did in this man's life. From being a persecutor, a murderer of God's people, to be a preacher. One who would mentor them in the faith and raise them for the glory of God. And then verse 16. He said God called him to preach the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. He's bringing this home and saying, look, God not only, this message is God's message. It came from God. It came through His Son. I studied this. I used to think the other way. But now I've come to a good understanding of it. And more than that, God wants me to preach this to you who are Gentiles. Remember, the Galatians were largely people who were Celts, formerly from, or we call them Gauls. They moved from places like France and others and settled there. So these were as Gentile people as you would get. And said, God called me to this task. Let me read from Acts chapter 26. It's a longer passage. Please follow. So I said, who are you, Lord? This is recounting his experience of his conversion with meeting with Jesus. And he, that is Jesus, said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal. So I've got lots of other things to teach you. To you, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. So he sent them to the Gentiles. And in verse 18, to open their eyes to order, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What was the push there? Sanctified by faith in me. Not good works, for they could not save anyone. These were the direct words of Jesus. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, we read together, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is what He wanted them to focus on, the work of the cross. Not moralisms. Not moralisms, but rather the gospel. And you see why he had to preach to them? He didn't say, look, let me show you how to do it. You have to be circumcised, you have to make sacrifices, you have to do all of these things. He says, no, I'm talking about Jesus. So if God called him directly, even though this was not normally done to a minister, they were to listen to him. The Judaizers, of course, were challenging Apostle Paul because he wasn't taking direction from the Pharisees. But he says, no, no, no. I have direct revelation from the Lord Jesus. And he is above the Pharisees. So you better listen. Really, this is an appeal to Christ's authority. You know, we could talk about, I know more about this than you, and we can go back and forth. But when we say, thus says the Lord, there's so much more weight to it. You hear people argue about the nature of vaccines and this vaccine, that vaccine, and COVID this, and there's so much discussion. And you know, more than 50% of the time, you probably don't know, even from those who might be in the right side, is still corrupted with some half-truths and all. When you say, Jesus said, what a difference that makes. And to further confirm this, he says in verse 17, God did not send me to Jerusalem to get the approval of the apostles. Rather, God sent him to Arabia, of all the possible places. Why Arabia? Because that's where God often sent people. That's where Moses went and spent 40 years to be trained and to be disciplined in order to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt to Canaan. That's where Elijah went, where God needed to teach him a few things as well to prepare him to be a good prophet. And it's not surprising that Apostle Paul went there. And why is he saying this? Oh, well, let's talk about this for a minute. Arabia was often called the place, or the tents of Kedar, that are mentioned in the Old Testament. So just for reference sake. But the whole point of this is, he did not have to get the approval of the other people. This was so direct from God, he didn't have to go to see Peter and John and the others in Jerusalem. And even, as we'll find out next time, he didn't go up to Jerusalem until years after to have a conversation with them. And even when he went there, he only spent a couple of weeks. And he went there for their benefit, not for his benefit. So where did he go after spending time in Arabia, where he started to preach the gospel? He then went to Damascus. Kind of interesting that the first place he goes as a missionary is to Damascus. Remember what he was going to do there? He was going to arrest and imprison and kill Christians. And now God says, I want you to go right where you were going to kill my people. And instead of working for their death, I want you to work for their life, because my people are there. I want you to go and preach for them there. But these others were sort of insinuating, you didn't go to the people in Jerusalem. Oh, you're not following the Pharisees. He's saying, I don't need to. These are the words of God. So what lessons can we learn? First of all, to fight against faithful preachers of the gospel is to fight against Christ. It's to fight against his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Don't fight against faithful preachers. But to fight against faithless preachers is to fight for Christ. It's to fight for his kingdom. It's to fight for his people. You have an obligation to do so. Second lesson. The law and the gospel are not the same. The law leads to the gospel. The law shows how bad we are. The law and the gospel are not equals. One leads to the other. Third, a little more personal now. When God calls you to himself, you are never the same. He changes you inside and outside. He changes you from a serpent to a servant or to a saint. That's what he did to the Apostle Paul. What a wicked man he was. And look how God changed him. And look at what he did after. He was advancing in his career, prominent position, influence, money for sure. But now he will sacrifice himself for others. And that's what you will do. You will sacrifice yourself for others. You will give up money for others. You will live for others. And you will not stop speaking for Christ and challenging others to live well. You remember Jeremiah, what he said? He said, your words are like fire shut up in my bones. You will not remain silent. If you see your brother living in sin, or you see someone in a lost condition who's your friend who does not know Jesus Christ, you will say, I have to tell them. It doesn't matter if they are upset with me. That's the word of life. I have to speak. And what's the most important thing you could speak? It's this. There is no other way of salvation than by receiving Jesus Christ, his work of obedience, and his death on the cross. This is what the world needs to hear. And now even more personal. Do your children hear of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone? See, we just try to make our children obedient. But trying to make them obedient doesn't give them new life. It's nice to tell your children to watch out for dangers from bad people. It's good to teach them to eat properly and stop eating so much candy. It's good to tell them, you have to keep your room clean. You have to tell them to shower regularly. Wash the muck off of their bodies. You can tell them to brush their teeth twice a day. At least 2 minutes. And give them the guidance. And that's good. It's good to teach them to have good manners. When they see someone or they go visit someone, that they will start off with, good evening. Or good morning, and be respectful. It's good to teach them to give money to the poor. But the most important thing they must hear is that they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You see, there's no salvation by obedience. If you don't teach them about Jesus for their salvation, you're sentencing them to death with clean teeth and maybe a clean bedroom. But they're going to be lost. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's conclude. Apostle Paul had to live to please God, not men. In doing this, he spoke strongly that salvation was by grace through faith in Christ alone. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. There's no salvation by good works or morality. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't ever stop speaking the truth of God's word. You are commanded to speak. The world is full of ignorance. Tell the world what it needs to hear in all aspects of life. Only you have the answers. That's not arrogance. That's a fact. That's truth. Only the Christian has the answer, and that answer is found in the Word of God. The world thinks it knows. That's why the world is celebrating Pride Day today. It doesn't know. It doesn't know. More importantly, don't ever stop speaking of the one and only way to be saved. That is receiving the work of Christ on the cross. You might not be popular for doing that. You might be persecuted for doing that. But Christ is the only hope that the world has. And you have Him in the palm of your hands. You have His Word in the palm of your hands. You need to share Him and to do so generously. Generously. And a final thought to the Christian. Would you be able to stand up before God and say that you did not tell others about the only way of salvation, and you allowed them to think that their life was okay because you did not want them to dislike you, or you did not want to lose the friendship? Would you be able to stand before God and say that? Remember, we're not in this world to be liked. We are in this world to love. The greatest love you can show is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in the cross, there is no salvation. Look to the cross and live. Try to do good works for your salvation. You will go to hell with all your good works. Because you can't do any good works to please God. Only the work of Christ on the cross will save you. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the message of the gospel is very clear. You revealed it in your words from Genesis to Revelation. As we see a reminder of how you revealed this to the Apostle Paul. We know, Lord, that we live in a time when people try to promote morality and decency and courteousness, as if somehow those are ways in which we can be saved. But courtesy is not a means of salvation. Kindness is not. Only receiving what Jesus did. And if anyone is here today who has not received Jesus Christ, that they will set aside all their good works, hoping that they will save, and say, I am a sinner and I need Jesus. And may this be their birthday, we pray. For Jesus' sake, amen.